Israeli forces killed two Palestinians and injured nearly a dozen more during a military operation in the occupied West Bank city of Nablus. Iran arrests a number of Israeli Mossad agents to enter the country to carry out acts of sabotage and terrorism in sensitive locations. State of emergency in place in parts of the U.S. state of California, and that after a wildfire prompted massive evacuations. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. The top story this hour, another deadly Israeli raid in the occupied West Bank. At least two Palestinians have been killed in the northern city of Nablus. The two men were aged 29 and 22. The Palestinian Red Crescent says 12 other people were also injured, one of them seriously. Palestinian reporters have described the raid as a full-blown military invasion. They say that Israeli snipers were positioned on buildings from where they fired live ammunition and stun grenades. Israeli forces have also stormed a flashpoint in the city of Jenin. The army conducts near-daily raids and arrests Palestinians in their towns in the occupied West Bank. The attacks often result in casualties. Israeli forces have killed at least 50 Palestinians in the occupied territories since late March. Several journalists, writers, politicians, and activists have gathered in the Lebanese southern town of Nagoura, where they voiced support for the Lebanese negotiating team in the maritime dispute with the Tel Aviv regime.
A gathering of Lebanese journalists and activists was held in the South Lebanon town of Nagoura to protest against Israel's extraction activities in the disputed waters.
We are so powerful, we can fight. We can go to war in case the enemy wants a war, unless we get our rights and our wealth in the sea and on the land.
Former head of the Lebanese negotiating team believed any negotiator should use all sources of power in his hands to strengthen their position facing the other party.
One of the strongest points is the resistance and the position of the resistance in the negotiation of for asking for getting what is right for Lebanon.
The speakers believe that Israeli attempts to drill in disputed waters could escalate the current status quo.
The Lebanese community and the media community is behind the Lebanese negotiation and behind the Lebanese resistance to confirm our right and in our wealth.
Within the presence of the resistance as well as the army of Lebanon and the people who refuse such aggression, because we believe that this act is already an aggression against Lebanon, and we have all the right to give a response to it, whether it is a legal response or any form of diplomatic or political or any form of response within our power of nation.
We came here, Lebanese government and people and press, to make the line and the point that this is our land and this is our sea and this is our sky.
Israeli caretaker Minister Yair Lapid has told U.S. Envoy Amos Hochstein that he wants to make a deal with Lebanon over the disputed waters as soon as possible. This comes a week after Hezbollah Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah said the resistance is ready for military escalation if Western pressure to prevent Lebanon from extracting its resources continues. Hochstein is expected in Beirut later in July.
We are here in Nagoura, the last Lebanese town on Lebanon's south coast. From here, at least three lines have been drawn in efforts to demarcate the maritime borders, all of which remain disputed. Behind me are blocks 10 and 9, both potentially rich in gas and petrol. But Lebanon's president, Michel Aoun, says Western pressure has hampered extraction activities. Mariam Saleh, Nagoura, South Lebanon.
Iran says it's arrested a network of agents working for the Israeli Mossad spy agency. Iran Intelligence Ministry says the network's members entered Iran from Iraqi Kurdistan region while carrying advanced equipment and strong explosives. The ministry added the forces arrested them before they were able to perform acts of sabotage and terrorist operations in sensitive locations. Israeli intelligence services have a history of direct involvement in terrorist acts against the Islamic Republic. The regime has been behind many terrorist attacks and sabotaging operations inside Iran. Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi says a breakthrough on the revival of the 2015 deal is possible if other signatories to the accord provide guarantees that Tehran will enjoy its economic benefits. The president made that comment during a phone conversation with his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron. The president noted that negotiations will bear fruit if the parties to JCPOA uphold their obligations. Raisi also slammed the recent anti-Iran resolution by the IAEA's Board of Governors, saying that a move damaged political trust. He said U.S. sanctions on Iran are detrimental to global economy. Also, the French president promised to continue efforts to help the parties to the talks reach an agreement. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation Standing Committee on Scientific and Cooperation has awarded two Iranian scholars for chemistry and also best scientific book. Salman Khujuri was that in that ceremony.
The Organization of Islamic Cooperation Standing Committee on Scientific and Cooperation, COMSTIC of the OIC, has awarded two Iranian scholars as the winners of COMSTIC Lifetime Achievement Award in Chemistry 2021 and COMSTIC Award for Best Scientific Book. Ali Mousavi Movahedi of the Institute of Biochemistry and Biophysics from the University of Tehran won COMSTIC Lifetime Achievement Award in Chemistry 2021, and Ismail Qavanlu as Associate Professor of Shiraz University has won COMSTIC Award for Best Scientific Book.
I've been studying and working on the structures and the functions of proteins throughout my life. This is important because all human activities are actually done by proteins. As a result of 40 years of studies and research, I was honored to receive the COMSTIC Lifetime Achievement Award.
Our book is about nanostructures. It is the result of years of research on nanomechanics. A good thing about this book is its writing style, which can serve as a reference book for researchers and also a good educational book for students.
COMSTIC awards are conferred biennially in basic sciences and in excellence in science and technology to recognize the outstanding research work carried out by scientists who are citizens of or working in OIC member states.
In 2021, more than 77,000 scientific articles were registered from Iran, and our country ranks first in the production of scientific articles among countries in the Muslim world and the region. Despite the sanctions imposed on Iran, international activities and cooperation have increased, and our scientists are not limited by geographical and political borders.
COMSTEC, the Ministerial Standing Committee on Scientific and Technological Cooperation of the OIC, was established by the Third Islamic Summit of OIC, held at Mecca, Saudi Arabia, in January 1981.
According to global reports, Iran ranks 15th in the world in terms of science production. And the most important research areas of Iran have been medicine, engineering, and material science, respectively. Salman Khujuri, Tehran.
The Turkish military has conducted heavy shelling on two areas in northern and western Syria, causing casualties and material damage. According to reports, the mortar and artillery fire in Zargan district have left one civilian dead and four others injured. Other attacks also hit sites in Tal Temer in the western Hasaka province, including near a Russian base. According to military sources, there have been 80 Turkish attacks in less than an hour. On Thursday, Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan renewed his threat to launch a military operation in Syria, allegedly to stem anti-Ankara terrorists. Damascus regards Turkey's operations as a violation of its sovereignty. Now to the other side of the planet, more than 500 U.S. firefighters working to extinguish a wildfire that has ripped through thousands of acres in California. More than a dozen properties have already been destroyed or badly damaged. Emergency personnel trying to evacuate residents and protect structures. Over 6,000 people were evacuated as the fire remained 0% contained as of Saturday evening local time. The blazes left behind ashes, gutted vehicles, and twisted remains of property in its wake. that broke out after a heat wave swept across multiple regions, pushing up temperatures. Officials say that the fire could take a week to contain. Now, in other news, Hungary urging the EU to change its strategies on Ukraine, saying that Western sanctions on Moscow have failed.
West's strategy on Ukraine has failed as governments in Europe are collapsing like dominoes. Energy prices have surged. A new strategy is needed, which should focus on peace talks and drafting a good peace proposal instead of winning the war.
The Hungarian Prime Minister says that the sanctions were aimed at destabilizing Russia's leadership in the war, but he believes that Ukraine will never win the war that way, as the Russian army has asymmetrical dominance. Viktor Orban says that the war can come to an end only through peace talks between Russia and the U.S. He stressed that Hungary is not willing to support the EU's limitations on Russian gas imports. Orban warned that this would undermine European economy. The bloc has imposed a wave of sanctions on Russia, targeting key sectors. Record high temperatures are causing France to take increasingly drastic measures amid the Western sanction campaign against Russia. Citizens are being asked to conserve power, with energy cuts this winter already being called a certainty. Rami Mazahari reports.
Due to their decision to sanction Russia over the unrest in Ukraine, France and the European Union are desperately trying to build energy stocks ahead of this winter. However, a record heat wave has created a surge in energy consumption, and that's prompted the government to informally call for the rationing of electricity. Citizens have been pushed to make an effort by cutting off Wi-Fi, unplugging appliances, and going without air conditioning. Many in poor neighborhoods say they expect their streets to go dark earlier and for their social services to be affected first. The West's sanctions campaign against Russia continues to force the average household into paying a steep price.
It's very difficult to see this crisis getting better by 2023. Finding alternative sources for gas and petrol will cause higher prices. Renewable energy will be more expensive. France isn't a big coal producer. France is already depleting its petrol and gas stocks. So every choice away from Russian energy is going to increase energy prices.
In order to have more control over the national energy grid, this week the government announced that they will totally renationalize the company Electricity of France. The energy giant runs all of the nation's nuclear power plants. Nuclear power provides nearly 70% of France's energy, the most of any country in the world. But a recent series of outages have caused nuclear power output to drop to its lowest level in nearly 30 years. Leaders of French energy corporations recently said that energy cuts are certain for this winter and that prolonged cold spells may threaten social and political cohesion.
The best solution is to negotiate with Russia to end the war in Ukraine. But we also need the leaders of the European Union to stop living in an isolated fishbowl where pushing for more war is a good idea. This energy and economic crisis is affecting all citizens.
A proposal to give the European Union the right to impose mandatory gas rationing across the bloc's 27 member countries was immediately shot down by the nations of Southern Europe this week. They called it the farthest-reaching power grab by Brussels this year. And it was especially controversial because individual national vetoes were not allowed under an emergency procedure employed by the leaders of the European Union. Rami Mazahari, Paris.
Britain's ruling Conservative Party has become embroiled in a new Islamophobia scandal, and that after a right-wing tabloid revealed that Number 10 has placed a boycott on a senior mainstream Muslim organization. The ban was originally resolved in 2010. Still, it remained an ongoing obstacle for Muslim representation in British political circles. Robert Carter has more.
Anger has been caused amongst British Muslims after a right-wing newspaper attacked Conservative leadership contender Penny Mordaunt for flouting a so-called government boycott of Britain's largest Muslim group. Following the article's release earlier this week, Muslim activists and even a Muslim Labour MP condemned the government over their admission of the ban.
This long-held secret boycott of a mainstream Muslim group by Number 10 was finally admitted on the front page of a tabloid press. The record of this government is that the Prime Minister's comments led to 375% increase in attacks on Muslim women.
The boycott centres on the Muslim Council of Britain, which claims to be the UK's biggest umbrella organisation of Muslim groups. In 2009, the then Labour government indeed cut ties with the group over a row regarding comments criticising Israeli aggression on Palestine. Although the ban was reversed a year later, successive Tory governments have continued to enforce it without much explanation. Onlookers believe the so-called policy is less about combating extremism and more about gagging legitimate Muslim voices.
Here we have an institution that represents very well and not extreme and, you know, having a variety of individuals, educated and professional, and coming across to give their views for, you know, the Muslims that do live in the United Kingdom. And here we have even that to be stopped. So it's really sad. It's quite disappointing. And I also would like to understand why that is actually happening. And once again, it's a target for Muslims. Yet they are showing, not just by their voice, but now in action, that they're actually doing worse and calling out others for being in that way when they are doing it themselves.
In comments that were released earlier in the week, the council did admit that since 2009's ban by the then Labour government, the council and its representatives have met up with some elected members of different parties, including the Conservatives. So questions still surround why this boycott is still being enforced by the current government. Those questions may take some time to answer. Robert Carter, London.
All right, that's all for this broadcast from Tehran.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back to Aperture. We witnessed the spectacular and awe-inspiring natural beauty of the Kaluts, or Yardangs, in the western part of Dashtalut in Iran. Rising up to 80 meters, these streamlined ridges have been carved by the wind out of the clay and sand lining the desert floor, creating a magnificent array of high-rising sculptures and lying parallel to the prevailing winds. The Yardangs are some of the world's most prominent. Stay with us as we follow Javad Gharayi, an Iranian nature explorer and documentary filmmaker, as he introduces more of Iran's desert wonders to us.
Early the next morning, I was still sleepy and tired, but some of the most beautiful natural views revealed themselves in the moments before sunrise. The cold and the dark couldn't stop me from exploring the natural beauties near my camp. The early hours of morning in the natural world fills you with energy. Filled to the brim with that energy that emanates from the peace and tranquility bestowed upon this land by God Almighty, I started my day that promised to be a good one. I spent 3 hours exploring the areas around my tent, taking beautiful photos of the unmatched scenery of the Kaluts, a precious gift by Mother Nature to those who appreciate her. Thank you. It was time for me to leave the imaginary city of Kalutz, a city with great potential for becoming a destination for responsible tourists and nature travelers. The most beautiful natural scenes should either be visited in the early hours of morning or sometime around sundown. I got up at 6 o'clock this morning and was able to take spectacular snaps of the natural beauties around here with this very camera. I have to say, I love Iran with all my being because of its very rich culture and its remarkably diverse natural beauties. It's time to go now. I have to pack up. I gotta put my tent back into my backpack and head out for the Kalutz again. This is my last day here. I can't stay here much longer because I'm running out of food and water. Not only the Kalutz, but the entire vast Lut region are considered as an invaluable natural museum in the world. All by itself, the Lut Desert is home to a world of numerous beauties, the like of which are scattered in different places across our planet. Without a doubt, it's among the most beautiful deserts on Earth. The Yalon mega dunes with their rare views, the Kalutz, the star-shaped dunes, the beautiful valleys in the heart of Lut, the hottest part of Dashtalut, which is Gandum Berian, a large plateau covered in dark lava, the unique vegetation, including small trees named saxalls, the Martian or miniature mountains on the fringes of Lut, the central hole, the Dolphin Valley comprised of rock formations eroded by wind, Dashtakashk, and the plant and animal species endemic to Lut. Add to all that the villages with their unique desert architecture, people whose cultures go back 6,000 years. My GPS is telling me I've walked around 36 kilometers through the Kalutz. This is nearly the end of my trek into the Kalutz. Another very beautiful feature of the Kalutz of Kerman, in other words, the Kalutz of Shahdad, is the Nepka Forest Park. These very beautiful plants you see behind me here are in fact the trees that have formed this Nepka Forest Park. Only two species, salt cedars and saxalls, which have grown here and created this beautiful and unique landscape. This area obviously looks different from others. The Nepka's Forest Park forms the vegetation on the fringe of the Kalut area. But this green patch fades away as you move from the cold mountains of Sirj to the hot, dry Kalutz. And in the heart of the Kalutz, there is hardly any vegetation at all. But Mother Nature has created a matchless forest in the area between the Sirj Mountains and the Kalutz. This strange land formation I'm standing next to is not your simple hill. It is the world's biggest natural vase known as the Nepka. This phenomenon is called Nepka in the African Sahara, Shur Moro in the central areas of Iran, and Talagaz by those living on the eastern and southeastern plains of Iran. When sandstorms blow past the vegetation in this area, they leave behind some of the dirt and sand at the foot of these plants. When the wind blows, some of the sand and dirt is trapped in the trees and crashes to the ground, creating a mound over time. In order to survive, the trees use their long roots to absorb water and other nutrients buried underground. The dirt around the shrubs and trees contain more moisture. This relative moisture keeps the sand and earth in place around the plant. Of course, that leads to a portion of the trunk, branches, and leaves being buried, which in turn contributes to the solidification of the sand near the plant. Every natural NEPCA vase is named according to the species it hosts. The NEPCAs are called talagaz or talatar by the locals in this region. Another unique feature of Lut are these same NEPCAs. They are the tallest natural vases in the world. The NEPCAs of this kind have been seen in Africa too, but the ones in Africa are barely 3 meters tall. At their tallest, the NEPCAs in Iran are 10 meters tall. Normally, NEPCAs grow on flat surfaces. They best grow on moist land. The shape of the NEPCA depends on the size, density, and growth rate of the host plant. In this NEPCA forest, the dominant species is the salt cedar. My goodness, it looks more like a miracle. Just look how God instilled the hope for life in these salt cedars and saxols. When they're just small seedlings, winds dump massive amounts of sand onto them. But driven by their strong will to live, they continue to grow in order to survive. The battle between the wind and sand on one hand and these trees on the other has been going on forever. It's been around for millions of years. But what is really very important is that hope keeps everything and everyone alive. And these trees, because of their intrinsic sense of hope, the will for life, put their roots down and stand tall. They continue to grow as a means of survival. It's going to become stormy very soon. Desert storms are very dangerous. So what you need to do is find shelter somewhere or leave that area immediately. Fortunately, I'm very close to my next destination and I think I'm not going to run into any trouble. But I have to get going immediately or I'm going to get sand and dirt all over my body and stuff. My camera crew and I were taken off guard by the sudden change of weather and the subsequent sandstorm. One of the biggest powers of nature in a desert is the ability of sand and dust to penetrate each and every orifice during a storm, and our equipment was no exception. Sandstorms are among the biggest dangers of a desert. In some cases, such storms continue to blow for days and can cost nature travelers their lives. But there are other dangers lurking in other parts of this vast plain. Therefore, the best way to ensure a safe trip to Lut is to make the necessary arrangements with the relevant authorities in Kerman province and the city of Shahdad. From Shahdad, I had to walk around 250 kilometers to the west of the province, to a place only 15 kilometers away from Rafsanjan. Kerman is a province with limited water resources. Many of the deep wells in the province have dried up. But deep in the heart of Rafsanjan's crisis-hit nature, there is a canyon that sparkles like a diamond. You might be thinking this isn't Iran, that I'm speaking to you from another country. But you're wrong. This is our beloved Iran, and I'm now standing atop a scary deep canyon, the Raga Grand Canyon of Rafsanjan. Valleys and canyons are strange yet beautiful natural phenomena. and they become even more beautiful if their emergence is not the result of orogeny. Rather, if it's the result of thousands or millions of years of erosion by wind, sand, and water of flat plains. Raga Grand Canyon is one such ravine, a peerless, pristine valley in Kerman Province. I was amazed at the view of the canyon from above. The pointed cones, the big and small columns carved out by erosion, the arcs, the partitions and wall-like strips were only a few of all the beautiful features of this canyon. Raga is around 20 kilometers long. Its width varies between 3 and 100 kilometers, and in some places it is around 80 meters deep. Walking on top of it could have been very dangerous. My goodness, it's really scary, but it's magnificent at the same time. At this point, I think it's around 70 meters deep from where I'm standing. If I fall into it, there will be nothing left of me. It's dangerous to be here because the earth here is very soft and can slide at any moment. So you'll have to keep a safe distance while walking along these beautiful walls. It's ruggedly beautiful indeed. You can get the most beautiful view of the canyon from up here, but every side of it offers its own unique beauty. What I'm really happy about is the fact that there is no construction work happening anywhere in a 20-kilometer radius. There are no roads. That's why this ravine has maintained its pristine status, and of course, the area around it too. My hope is that we can preserve this untouched ravine and its surroundings the way they are and leave them to the next generation, and they to the generation that comes after them, just like the way it looks now. I hope so. The canyon's geomorphology and its pristine environs made for beautiful scenery, and that had provided a good habitat for certain species of animals in and around it. This region and this gorge are so intact, they have become home to various species of birds, such as eagles that have built their nests in recesses high on the walls where they feel safe. I'm very excited and counting every minute for the walk on the bed of the canyon, but the best time to do it would be tomorrow because I don't have enough time for it today. Raga Canyon is a good destination for geologists and nature travelers venturing into the Lute. The vegetation, such as salt cedar trees in some parts of the canyon, made the canyon even more beautiful. From the bottom up, ravines look just as beautiful. I walked along much of Raga Canyon from above and captured many beautiful views of it, but it was now time to go down to the bottom of it. This part of the wall is solid. It's hard to walk on. It's very steep too, as you can see. You have to take a lot of care going down. My God, yes! At the bottom, the canyon was beautiful and scary. I kept thinking its walls were going to come crashing down any minute. Walking at the foot of those majestic walls, I felt how little and weak I was compared to the canyon and to its creator. On one hand, the beautiful long natural statues and on the other, the tunnel-shaped arcs carved into the walls were all astonishing. Statues chiseled by gravity pulling down the dirt and pebbles on the walls of the ravine. The view down here is simply breathtaking. The huge, majestic statues carved out on the walls of the canyon have taken thousands of years to be made. As loose earth from the top of the canyon cascaded down to the bottom over the years, it created these beautiful shapes on these walls. They are stunning. Some of them look like humans and others like certain animals. This canyon is just as beautiful down on its bed as it is from above. This dry tree over here, in fact, there are many others scattered across the ravine. Floodwaters on the highlands and on the plains sweep them up along with some of the trees that grow at the mouth of the canyon in spring and dump them over here. It's a bizarre scene here. It's very dangerous to come here in the spring season because floodwaters are deadly. Ravine exploration is among the most interesting fields in nature traveling. There are many adventurers around the world who are in love with exploring valleys and canyons. But this field of sport comes with its own hidden dangers. The collapse of the walls or falling from the edge of a canyon's walls are among those dangers. But there's another more serious threat to the life of nature travelers, which is seasonal floodwaters caused by rainfall. Just take a look at what seasonal rivers have done to these walls. The water can be around 2 meters deep here at the time of a flood and can be fatal. Whenever I travel to a place like this, I study up on its weather and climate before I set out so I won't run into any trouble. So when it's raining, you better not be anywhere near the bottom of any ravine. Although Raga Canyon is very wide and the floodwaters flowing in pose a less serious threat, it is likely for torrential rain to come down in the nearby areas. And that means flash floods at a certain time during a day or night or a whole day. So at a time like that, you better not come here. Most nature travelers take all kinds of precautions prior to their adventure. But most of them don't pay much attention to the climate of the places they travel to. They don't take the weather forecasts very seriously. In 2005, 11 mountaineers from Ghazvin, with all their equipment and years of experience, entered Andres Canyon in Alborz province. But because they had ignored the weather forecast and the predicted rain, they had an accident. During rainfalls, valleys and canyons that offer no escapes are the most dangerous places in the natural world to be. In that year, heavy rain set off floodwaters in Andarax Canyon, and unfortunately, it took the lives of all 11 mountaineers. Therefore, the most important thing that natural explorers should take into account is the weather forecast, the difficulty of the route they're traveling on, and their mental and physical strength for the trip ahead. You can't put a price tag on the environment. All those who walk into nature speak of it as a cathartic experience and absorb massive amounts of positive energy. In my opinion, because the natural world is a manifestation of the greatness and beauty of God, I have walked a very long distance. I'm about to arrive at the end of the canyon. I'm going to have to get out of it before dark sets in, concluding another leg of my trip. It's very easy to pollute your environment, but that's not right. It only goes to show how irresponsible we humans can be. We have to take responsibility for the environment in our country and in the entire planet. We mustn't dump our garbage out in the open and instead send it to the recycling system. We must treat nature the same way we do our homes. Only then can we say we are committed to other humans, to the planet Earth, and to future generations. I'm approaching the end of my trip. I have no doubt that many of my countrymen and women are not familiar with the beautiful natural wonders of Kerman province. And many of the officials in the province don't seem to be aware of the great potential these natural wonders have as tourist destinations. In addition to its old history and culture, the province boasts unique natural features on a par with their counterparts in the rest of the world. In the developed world, development doesn't include building roads, hotels, and tourism centers in the heart of the environment. In the century we live in, development and progress is tantamount to the unconditional and responsible preservation of the environment, and sustainable development of the tourism industry can easily set in motion the big wheels of the country's economy. The environment in Iran is very fragile and sensitive, but with proper professional preservation and protection, by people and officials alike, it can turn into a big generator of jobs and revenues, provided that we appreciate what we have and do all we can to preserve what's left of Iran's untapped natural world. We should perish the thought of construction on it.
I'm sure you'll agree with me that Iran's deserts, with their varied and dramatic landscapes of canyons, yardangs, and their beautiful flora and fauna, are a unique destination for the demanding traveler to discover a wealth of exceptional and unspoiled views. And that's it for this week. Do keep in touch with us, and until next week, goodbye.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear friends. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are listening to Lantern. On the continuation of Lantern, we have an interesting story. I invite you to listen to it. A dying old man said to his doctor while on the sickbed, "Doctor, don't worry. I know I'm going to die. I didn't want to come here, but they brought me here. Please don't worry about me. Look at my hair. They are gone. I'm so old, but you're so young. I have learned a lot from life. If you don't mind, I will tell you some of them before I die. When I wanted to enter the university, I wanted to study zoology. But everyone said I should study engineering, that I will be a great engineer. So I listened to them. I had no one to pay my fees. I had to work and also pay my fees. In my third year, I couldn't cope with my studies. I had to drop at 40. I got a huge contract. My name was in the news. The next day, all my friends and families were at my house. Everyone had a serious problem. Within 1 week, I spent all the money on them with the promise that they will pay back. I could not complete the contract because they refused to return the money as promised. So I was sent to jail for 6 years. I stayed in jail and I came out. When I came out, they were nowhere. There was one mistake I made through all this time. Now it's clear to me. I refused to listen to myself. I ignored my own self and listened to others. Now that I'm here, the only person that is with me is myself. You see, it's very wise to seek advice from others, but it's very dangerous to ignore your own self. The only person that can overrule yourself is Allah, after Allah listened to yourself next. I know it may not make sense to you now, but always remember, I told you, learn to listen to yourself. That was our today's story. Now the continuation of it. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastin. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with why some people may want to misuse us or benefit from our help for the unfavorable or unwelcome purposes. It has happened to all of us. I mean, I'm sure that everybody has experienced it, that some people may approach you and may say that they are in dire need of your help, but the minute you help them, you find that the earlier plans or the aims were not anything that you would agree with in the beginning. You might wish to receive the approval of everybody. This is utterly impossible. Please note carefully that great people in the world, great people in the world, like, for example, the divine prophets, okay, or, for example, very great figures in the, even in the world of knowledge and scholarship, you should know that as soon as they wanted to accomplish the projects and that they wanted to carry out whatever they noticed to be necessary for their own community race, they received some oppositions. Imagine the case of the prophet Abraham. All followers of the Abrahamic faith, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, if not other religions, know that the prophet Abraham was an icon, an iconic personality of monotheism and monotheistic belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what the prophet Abraham did in his own community, in his home community in present-day Iraq, was inviting everybody to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to worship idols. This is, of course, a great doctrinal achievement. Yet you find that there were some people, even among his close relatives, who opposed him, who opposed Abraham in his decisions. Yet you find that based on Quranic assertions, you find that the prophet Abraham was so resolute that he never cared about receiving the approval of this or that person at the cost of receiving the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's important in this regard is that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be happy with what we do, no matter what other people might say. Because, I mean, some people may like something right now, and after a few minutes, they may not like it. Please note carefully that, for example, imagine, for example, you have, a teenager child at home, okay? Your teenager child, okay, right now, he or she may like ice cream, okay? Having an ice cream, after just a few minutes, if you ask him that, him or her, that if he needs, for example, another ice cream, he may reject it. He may reject the offer. He's the same person. Okay, before, for example, half an hour ago, he used to insist on having an ice cream, and now he rejects it. I mean, now he says that he doesn't like it.
Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
People are like this, okay? You can't receive the approval and appreciation of everybody. This is utterly impossible in the world. Utterly impossible. At the same time, you find that this is, so long as this is impossible, you have to work. You have to work with your intellect, with your power of deciding of on everything, in the proper way. Another reason is that you may let certain people to make misuse of your capacities, your energy, or your capabilities. In this regard, you should stand firm in your position, okay? If you know that something is wrong, okay, and you know that, okay, doing such a thing is wrong, or, for example, showing the slightest compromise, I mean, in a certain project will bring about very unfavorable consequences, don't think that, okay, this is my relative, this is my father, this is my cousin, and so on, okay? Stand firm in your position, okay? And never show any compromise in this regard. Another reason may be that you may not want to show off your passions, your sensations, or your sentiments. Some people may object to your doing so because they may say that, okay, since you've got a very high social position, okay, you shouldn't behave in this way. You should be very firm. You should be very stiff, and so on. While you find that, I mean, our sensations and our senses and our sentimental reactions are parts of our, I mean, they make parts of our capabilities, and they make parts of our behavior. So there's no reason, for example, not to show your anger, or not to show your wrath, or not to show your happiness, and so on. Another reason may be that, okay, you may find that you've become the victim of very treacherous people. This is, of course, true. Some treacherous people may approach you because they know that you are a capable person. Well, if you are experienced enough, you understand that, I mean, such people are treacherous and they cannot be relied upon. But if, for example, you are not that much experienced, then they may work on you and make you, I mean, compromise with their own, with their projects or with their aims. Thank you.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu
al-qulub.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.